The race for a global coronavirus vaccine suffers a setback. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Shares of AstraZeneca are down 1.5% this morning here in London, despite a broad rally in European markets that's sending the Stock 600 index up 0.7%. That's after the British-Swedish pharmaceutical giant said final clinical trials of the coronavirus vaccine it's developing with Oxford University have been put on hold worldwide. An independent investigation will take place to determine why a British volunteer developed an unexplained illness and has been hospitalized. This is the second time this trial has been put on hold, but the team say that's not unusual for such large-scale tests. Tens of thousands of volunteers in Britain, South Africa, Brazil, and the United States have so far taken part in the trial. No work, no pay, no food. Coronavirus lockdowns have forced many people all over the world to wonder where their next meals will come from. According to Matthew Truscott, Oxfam International's head of humanitarian policy, about 121 million people have been pushed to the edge of starvation this year.
And that, of course, is across the main hotspots, the ones that you would expect: Yemen, Democratic Republic of Congo, Afghanistan, Venezuela, South Sudan. But we're also seeing hunger coming up in otherwise sort of middle-income or developing countries, India, South Africa, Brazil, etc. So when you look at a situation in the world where you have about 60-61% working in the informal economy, when they're denied that daily income, forced to stay at home, they no longer get that income, and that forces them into some of the negative coping strategies.
And that's what makes this crisis so unique, isn't it? It's that people couldn't travel to work, which meant they couldn't make money and they couldn't buy food. But this isn't just a short-term problem, is it?
Yeah, and it has sort of the long-term impacts where, for instance, if you take people who are living day-to-day selling milk, if they can't sell milk for a few days, it gets to a point where they then have to do something to have food and income. They then have to sell their means of income, so selling the cow, which had been providing their milk, and they then can't go back to generating that income. And the same happens in sort of urban areas where people who had been, for instance, taxi drivers, after so long of not being able to take fares and give taxi rides, they eventually then have to start selling off assets to cope. And that's where we're really seeing this potential long-term structural breakdown.
And as you say, this is a problem that existed before the pandemic. So how do we tackle it this time around? Does it require new solutions?
It does. We're sort of proposing three solutions. The first, of course, is that we need to increase humanitarian aid drastically. The UN Global Humanitarian Appeal has called for about $10.3 billion in humanitarian aid, but only about 24% of that is funded, so less than a quarter. The second thing that we can do is cancel some of the debt. That could free up to $1 trillion. And then, of course, the final thing is exactly as you say, we do need to change how the system works. We need to build a more fair, a more robust food system. We need to build a system that's ready to deal with the climate shocks, that's able to produce sustainable food, one that supports the small-scale farmers and the informal workers.
Matthew Truscott, head of humanitarian policy at Oxfam International. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Here in the UK, fresh restrictions on social gatherings will go into place next week to prevent further spread of COVID-19. That's far from welcome news for live entertainment venues and performers who haven't been allowed to work since lockdown was first imposed in March. Thomas Inge is an actor in the West End, London's Broadway. When the lights went out, he was preparing to go on tour, but quickly switched gears and found work at a supermarket as a checkout team leader to make ends meet. Here's what he told me right after he got that job in April.
Oh, it's weird. It's very strange. And I think if I think about it all too much, it upsets me because obviously this isn't what I planned on doing for these few months. But it's nice to be busy. That's what I'm most grateful for.
Well, it's been nearly 5 months since that conversation. So we caught up with Thomas this morning and he had a bit of news to share.
I am in South Korea and I am about to open in Cats the Musical tonight, which is so exciting.
That is quite the change from the last time we spoke to you, Thomas. You were working in April at a local Tesco. So how did you end up in South Korea now 5 months later?
It was all a bit of a whirlwind. I'd done the show before and I'd been asked about coming to rejoin the show. And I said no, because I'd got another show lined up and I was really excited for that and hoping kind of COVID would clear up very quickly. And it didn't. And then I was told that the other job has been delayed a year. So I thought, well, great, I'm going to jump on the Cats train. So within a few weeks, I'd left Tesco and I was out in South Korea.
So how long have you been there then?
I've now been here 7.5 weeks. So we had to quarantine for 2 weeks at first, which was quite a lot. You get tested, you get put into your room, and then you can't leave your room for 2 weeks. And then we went straight into rehearsals from there, and we opened tonight.
So I want to ask you about that. So much like what's happening here in England, 2 weeks ago, South Korea began enforcing stricter social distancing guidelines to try and stave off a fresh spike in coronavirus cases. Are you and the production staff worried that you may be out of work again or that they may crack down on these big gatherings?
Do you know what? I mean, I've been really hot on it and keep checking it. They've actually hit their peak of it 2 weeks ago. For the last week, they've had under 200 cases a day and they keep falling and falling. So they are so on it. And I think it's such a drive for the population here that they just don't want it to affect their lives. So they're so keen on getting rid of it.
How are things being done differently there to make theatre going possible?
Firstly, they really appreciate their theatre and hold it in such high stead. They feel like it's a big part of the economy and it should continue to go ahead. Tonight, we are actually opening with a reduced capacity, but it's still at, I think, 60%. And that's just going to be for the next few weeks until hopefully the lockdown rules are eased slightly. And then we'll be able to open at full capacity again.
Now, Andrew Lloyd Webber is the composer of Cats, the show you're in now. And he was before a parliamentary committee yesterday here in the UK, warning that the arts industry can't survive without more help from the British government. So are you planning to return to London? Do you think you can survive professionally and financially here?
Do you know what? I woke up this morning and I heard the news that the UK is going into a sort of not a full lockdown, but stricter rules again. And I had the moment of, you know, starting to think maybe this will be my last opening night. I just don't know. So I really hope I can get back. And the show that I'm going to be doing after this starts in June. So I hope by June, I'll be fine. It's really sad, but it's hard to get excited for things until they're actually happening.
Well, the good news is you've got work now. So how long are you planning to stay in South Korea?
It's until May, which is amazing. It's a 10-month job, which is just incredible. I feel so lucky. And actually, going straight from Tesco to here has meant that I haven't actually stopped working, which has been very fortunate. And I do feel guilty because I've got so many friends that aren't in this position right now and would love to be. But at the same time, I've got to enjoy it for what it is. I do feel so lucky. Like, I can't wait to open tonight. It's going to be brilliant.
We'll break a leg tonight. All the best of luck. Thomas Inge, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
Well, if like Thomas, you have something to celebrate, a man from England might just have the thing to help. Matthew Robson is selling 18 bottles of 18-year-old single malt scotch. His father started the collection, gifting one bottle on every birthday. Matthew was under strict instructions never to open them until he was of age. Now he's looking to part with them. He's asking about $51,000 for the lot to help put a down payment on his first house. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.